All right, so we're in John chapter 1 all through this kind of Lenten season, getting ready for Easter, which is going to be a really big kind of end to this passage of how God tells us through John the Baptist that Jesus is the Son of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and I'm excited about next Sunday. But honestly, I've been falling more and more in love with this passage from John the more we've been working through it over the last month or so. I just think that in terms of setting a foundation for our faith and the life that we are seeking to live with God, with Jesus, this passage gives so much power and beauty, and today is no exception to that. So here is today's passage. I'm going to read it for us, and then we will pray. We will jump in. It's going to be good. I'm so glad that we get to do this together, okay? So here we are. We're in John chapter 1. Today we're covering verses 14 through 18. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, has made him known.'" Let's pray together. God, thank you for your word. And we mean that in every sense. We mean that in the sense of this passage, this Bible, this story, this connection to your heart that we have at our disposal here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Jesus, who we are here to praise and celebrate this morning. God, without the events of that week 2,000 years ago, we would not be sitting here together. We wouldn't know each other. We wouldn't have a common interest. We wouldn't have a shared belief. It's all because of what Jesus came to do for us. And although our praise may seem meager or small, God, it is what we have to offer you as a thanks for what Jesus has done on our behalf. So, Father, now I ask that you would help us to set aside the distractions of this week, to be fully present now here with your Holy Spirit, who has something to reveal to each one of us through this passage, Lord. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your truth. And now, God, I ask that your Spirit would do the speaking this morning and that your word would do the work in our hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so this passage, although it has a lot that could be covered, is really an opportunity for us to talk about one of my favorite concepts about the Christian faith. Okay, one of what I think is the most challenging, difficult, interesting, amazing, powerful realities about the kingdom of God, which is that Jesus Christ came full of two things. Everyone say it. Grace and truth. Say it like it's the coolest thing you've ever heard. Full of grace and truth. Okay, so what we're going to do today is we're going to try to understand the power of these two concepts, and I'm going to preach to us about grace and truth, okay? Not a little bit about grace or a little bit about truth. We're going to talk about how they are linked together, inseparable from one another, okay? Now, the risk with doing that is that because I've met a lot of Christians in my life, I know that it's very likely that each one of us, to some degree or another, leans a little bit one way or a little bit the other way. That might have to do with your background, the type of church you grew up in. It might just have the, like, personality-wise. I don't really know. But so what I want to do is I want to start with a little quiz, okay, so that you can self-evaluate. Are you a little bit more of a grace person or are you a little bit more of a truth person, okay? And I feel super confident that this is going to work. I did it with a test group on Wednesday night, and they kind of crushed it, but it's fine. I stuck with it anyway, guys, okay? You can't steal my joy, all right? So, five questions, self-evaluate here, grace and truth, okay? The first question is this. Are you more of a rule follower or a people pleaser? Okay, you don't have to tell me. You can tell someone next to you if you want to, okay? But this would be this would be your opportunity to sort of decide, okay, are you more of a truth rule follower or more of a grace people pleaser, okay? All the people that were there on Wednesday are smiling because they know I changed it already. Okay? When your friend misses church, is your first thought, I wonder if they're okay, or where are their priorities? Because we all know we're probably thinking both these things. I'm asking, what's your gut reaction? Okay? And no, don't text them right now. Text them after church. Something along the line, we missed you. We missed you, right? Okay? When someone has a lapse in judgment, do you tend to think that consequences will help them learn? Or that if we show them mercy, they will be motivated to make a change? Maybe a little bit of both? Maybe one a little more strong than the other? Okay? Maybe you and your spouse are looking at each other like, see? This is what I'm talking about. Two more. True or false? It's easy to love someone even if I don't respect their choices. Huh. Grace people are like, well, yeah, it's easy to love everyone. That's fine. Truth people are like, well, I want to, but man. Okay, last one. True or false? If someone makes a mistake, correcting them is a way of showing them love. Truth people are like, yeah, why is that a question? I don't understand. I don't understand what you're asking. And grace people are like, no, don't make me do that. Should we do a poll? No. No, don't listen to Taylor. Okay, Pastor Andrew, our interim executive pastor, says to not, so we won't. So in order to understand the way of Jesus, we need to fully understand both of these realities. Because it says that Jesus came full of both grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. So, these verses are setting the foundation for what the Bible teaches as a whole, that God cares deeply about love and compassion and mercy, both that he extends to us and that we are to extend to others. And God cares deeply about the guardrails, the boundaries, the ways that he has called us to live our lives in accordance with his will. It makes me think of, how many of you have ever played the game Mario Kart before? Anyone? I'm talking like the good version, like the Super Nintendo version, okay? Don't hit me with any of that Switch stuff. That's not the same, okay? It makes me think of Mario Kart. So truth, God's truth as revealed through Scripture, as revealed through the person of Jesus, sets the path that we are to ride on, okay? Sets the roadway. And if you're on the roadway, you know that your car moves faster. You move, it's smoother, you get the little prize boxes that give you extra tools in your toolbox, all these things, right? But if you veer off the path, then you start spinning out, and you go slower. Are you guys tracking with me? You guys get it? So, like, this is the truth that God reveals. But then grace is like the little guy with the, he's, like, on a cloud, and then he, like, puts, like, the weird, like, fishing rod thing down. You guys know what I'm talking about? If you haven't played this game, come on. Go down to youth ministry for a while. They play it before most Wednesday nights. Okay, so I should explain it, I guess. I'm assuming you've all played it. So if you go off the path and you spin out, or sometimes it's like a cliff, you like fall off the cliff, this like weird guy on a cloud comes and he like fishes you out and then and sets you back down on the path. Okay, that's the grace of Jesus. And it comes in wave after wave after wave. You have unlimited lives when it comes to life with Jesus. Okay, he will always pick you up and put you back on the path. But the truth of Jesus is that your life is intended to go on the road, to stay within the boundaries. Does this make sense? This is good? And Jesus came full of both of these realities, full of both grace and truth. And what is interesting about this is that oftentimes I find that people assume that the New Testament, the story of Jesus, is all about grace, and that the Old Testament is all about truth. That the Old Testament is about the laws and the rules and the boundaries and the angry God, and the New Testament is about the love and the compassion and the mercy and the grace. That's actually not true. So if you've ever learned that before, you are like as wrong as I was when I chose Florida to win the whole thing again this year. Or Hillary, who chose Purdue. Oh. Just to mention that. The reality is that the Old Testament was also about both grace and truth. That those concepts live, if you learn anything about steadfast love and mercy, you can read Exodus 34. That's as Old Testament as it gets. It's the same book that gave us the Ten Commandments, also gave us this verse in chapter 34 that says, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. It's the same book. So, the best understanding that I could find about what this means is here in verse 16, it says, for upon his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Meaning, this grace upon grace, meaning it's almost like a replacement of. So there was the Old Testament concept of grace and truth, which was follow the rules, then there's a sacrificial system that gets you back in line if you don't do it right, those types of things. But it never quite worked out, right? The Old Testament is a story of people's failings to follow the will of God. Then the New Testament says, right here at the beginning of John, Jesus came in fullness of grace and truth. So if you want to understand what grace and truth are and how they interact together, the fullest version of that, the most complete understanding of what grace and truth are and why they matter, is the person of Jesus. Okay? Jesus is our full and complete understanding of grace and truth. Just like we talked about how Jesus is the light, John says in chapter 1, right? This is expanding that concept and helping us understand. So what kind of light? Like, what light do you mean? Like shining light into the darkness? Well, John is saying it's a light that brings grace and a light that brings truth. And if you want to understand that, you need to look at the life of Jesus and then you'll get it. And fortunately, we have 4 accounts about the life of Jesus that are full of stories about how he extended grace and how he stood up for truth. So you can go right now, if you're trying to understand this more, you can go and start reading through the Gospels. Mark being the shortest one, if you want to crank one out. Matthew being kind of the longest, most complete one. John being this kind of different alternative version. It doesn't matter. All of them tell about this man, Jesus, who came full of grace and truth. And that's why it talks about in this passage that we've seen his glory. His glory has been revealed. These concepts make him glorious. Okay? So now the question becomes, what do we do with that? What do we do with this idea that Jesus, the one that we're here to praise and love and care about, what should I do, maybe being a person that leans a little over here or leans a little over there in terms of grace and truth, what should I do with that? Well, I want to present a few things that we cannot do with these concepts in the hopes that it will make it nice and clear for us, okay? Because I honestly see these two realities that if you've grown up in church, you've heard about these things all the time. You know what these things are, you've learned what the concepts are, but still we allow them to be misused over and over and over and over and over again, okay? And honestly, when you're talking about one of the most like interesting and important theological truths about Jesus, I think we need to be careful to not be misusing these things in the way that I see it happening, okay? So there's 3 things that we cannot do with grace and truth as concepts, okay? The first thing that we cannot do is accept one and reject the other, okay? That seems pretty simple, right? That seems pretty straightforward. And yet, we see this happening all the time. I just told you, I've met a lot of Christians. I've talked to a lot of people, and if you want to make the if you want to meet the Christian that really makes people feel uncomfortable or like uncertain, it's the person that is like so staunchly one or so strongly the other that you kind of leave the conversation thinking like, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel right to me. What happens more often than someone being so much one or so much the other is that I find people carry like a certain level of passion or excitement for one, and then they kind of hold it like close to their heart. Like, this is what I care about. This is Jesus to me. Jesus to me. This is what matters the most. And then they will acknowledge there's another one, but they sort of like hold it like back here, like it's like a stinky diaper they don't want to talk about, kind of a thing. Right? Like, yeah, there's that truth part of it, but, or yeah, I guess we're supposed to show grace, but really, Jesus came full of grace and truth, so if we're gonna follow Jesus, we have to choose the harder path of trying to find both in our lives. We see it in our churches, right? The churches around here, the churches in the world. And this is not meant to be critical or judgmental. It's just an observation. You can go find a church. If you want to find a church that's all about grace, you can certainly do that. Probably within a stone's throw of where we are right now. A church that will preach love. They will preach acceptance. They will preach it's all good. It's okay. Be who you are. They will preach all those types of gracious things. And the heart up behind that, let me be clear, is good. That is their version of attempting to follow Jesus in his grace towards the world out there. Or on the other end, if you want to find a church that will tell you the truth, you can find them. And they're not far from here. They will tell you the straight and narrow path. They will tell you the errors of the world. They will tell you why the culture is broken and has departed from the ways of Jesus. They'll tell you how to live a life that honors him and follows his path and his rules. But they will oftentimes, not always, they will oftentimes fall short of extending compassion to people who are broken. Understanding that the ways of the world, the power of this world is really, really strong. It tears people down. And we have a responsibility to extend compassion. I bet, I don't know if I'm striking a chord with any of you, but I bet if we were to start doing a poll across this room that we would have some stories to share of those churches that are all grace or those churches that are all truth. And you go in there and something just doesn't feel right, right? So what is really hard, I learned this from Pastor Kevin. I'm learning it even more now in this new role as lead pastor. What's really hard from this seat is to try to fully live out both. Because, like it or not, we all have a bit of a bend, okay? And if what we say up here doesn't match your particular bend, then you feel like something's wrong. And if you feel that really strongly, you might come and say, well, I need you to be more in line with the truth. Or I need you to extend more grace. Pastor Andrew and I, we could sit and tell you some of the stories of even in this year, 2026, and how we tried to navigate that tension of what was happening downtown with the ICE agents and the immigration and all those things. We could tell you about how we tried to follow God's leading through that time. Say what we felt like we were supposed to say, not say what we felt like we weren't supposed to say, do what we felt like God was asking us to do, not do what we felt like he wasn't asking us to do. And yet, from both sides, the truth side and the grace side, we had people coming in rebuking us. So, okay, we're just trying to follow the way of Jesus, which is fully grace towards everyone in the world. All the time, always, it's an open invitation of acceptance that he offers to every person. And fully truth that says there is right and there is wrong in this world. The culture doesn't get to determine what is true or not true, what is right or not right. Jesus gets to determine that. And we're trying to do both at the same time. We cannot accept one and reject the other. N.T. Wright compares it to a marriage. Actually, thank you, Pastor Andrew. Psalm 85 actually even compares it to a marriage. N.T. Wright says, it's like those of us who truly behold Jesus for who he is are invited to a wedding where grace and truth are getting married to each other. And we might come with an invitation from one side or the other. We might find ourselves at the wedding ceremony sitting on one side of the aisle or the other to support one, whichever one we feel more passionate about. But the ultimate goal when we're attending that wedding is to celebrate the new marriage, the new thing that just got made when both of them are together. That's our job when we attend weddings, right? That's our job when we address this idea of grace and truth. We need to be champions of both. So, if you found yourself leaning a little this way or leaning a little this way, my challenge would be to strike a chord of balance. Try to find balance. Challenge yourself to pursue whichever one is less natural for you, okay? And you might just find yourself finding a fuller version of who Jesus is, okay? Second thing we can't do is we can't separate these things from Jesus. All right, this is what culture is trying to do, okay? Culture is trying to take the concept of grace and make it a universal, everyone should extend this to everyone all the time type of concept, as if it's become a moral value or an ethical value. And what that misses is that Jesus interplays the grace and the truth together. You can't take grace on its own, apart from who Jesus is, and turn it in. It becomes something different. The grace we're talking about is not just be nice to people. It's not just show love and acceptance to people. It's not just be kind and a good person and non-confrontational. The type of grace we're talking about is the grace of Jesus Christ that is laid out pretty clearly, the way that he extended that grace. And it was actually far more radical than the light version of grace that culture tries to extend. In the same way, truth, culture tries to take and makes it these like absolute concepts of right and wrong, and there's a lot of condemnation that comes in that, a lot of judgment that comes in that. Or they take truth and they try to say, well, truth can be relative. You can define your own truth, that's okay. Your truth is your truth, that's fine, right? No, what we're talking about is the truth of Jesus. The truth of Jesus that is laid out for us in the scripture, okay? So you can't separate them apart from Jesus. And the third thing we can't do is we can't allow these things to become weaponized, which is what I'm seeing happening all the time. All the time, okay? Here's what I mean by that. These concepts, grace and truth, these realities of who Jesus is, are nuclear concepts. They are huge, powerful ideas. And just like can be done with nuclear power, they can be used for beauty and good and truth and right and all those amazing things, or they can be weaponized against other people. When grace, it gets weaponized, it becomes this kind of mind-bending message of like, just live your life. Shoot your shot. You be you, right? All is well. When truth gets weaponized, it becomes this toxic ideology that says, as long as I'm right, then I'm justified in doing and saying whatever I want, no matter how it makes someone else feel. When grace gets weaponized, people blame authority instead of taking responsibility for their actions. Christians don't speak openly about their faith because they're too worried about offending someone. The powerful, beautiful, amazing gift of sex becomes a plaything that we're taught is just a matter of personal preference and pleasure. Lies like all roads lead to heaven become commonly accepted. When grace gets weaponized, freedom gets abused. Consequences are ignored, and unconditional love gets redefined as unconditional acceptance. When truth gets weaponized, kids are led to believe that good behavior is a condition of their parents' love. Christians are seen as hypocrites because they love to talk the walk that they can't actually walk. The Bible is used to try and shame people into submission. People get so used to pointing out the specks in others' eyes that they forget about the plank in their own. When truth gets weaponized, judgment and condemnation run rampant. Hateful speech somehow becomes justified, and faith becomes more about being right than it does about being in love with Jesus. He came full of grace and full of truth. I want to invite you into one thing you can do today, every one of us. Accept and extend these gifts in the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. The grace of Jesus Christ is the engine that can power you forward through some of the hardest circumstances in your life. It's this like rocket fuel that never runs dry. It comes at us in wave after wave after wave, no matter how far you feel like you veered off course, no matter how distant you might feel from God. Grace is the power that only comes through the work of the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that says, I still take you into my family. You still get to be my child. I see what you've done. I know. But I accept you in anyway. And let my mercy and my love and my compassion wash over you time and time and time again. And it allows you to power forward when life gets hard. And truth, it's these guardrails. They're not there to restrict you. They're not there to keep God's thumb down on you and make your life worse. They're there to keep you on his path so that you don't veer off course and end up off a cliff somewhere in a situation that you can't recover from. Or you don't end up smashing into someone in a way that breaks down the relationship forever. The guidelines, the guardrails of Jesus are here to keep you going in line with his will for you. His good, his gift of life. Zoe life that brings fullness and awesomeness out of everything of who you are. Praise God. Praise God that he gave us both these amazing concepts and that he, Jesus, was fully both. Don't let anyone ever tell you that he was more one than the other. He was fully in love with his people. And he was fully leading and directing and guiding his people. Do you know what they were celebrating with those palm branches that day? They had been told that the king was coming. The king was gonna come and he was gonna help them through all of their trials, that he was gonna have this amazing ability to heal and to care for them and to minister to their hearts. And he was gonna have this power and this leadership that was gonna supplant the authorities of the day and was gonna carry them into a new reality. And so they said, Hosanna, 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 praise God, praise God. They laid their cloth down in front of him because they saw him for who he was. And we come here today with the awesome privilege of being people who together get to see Jesus for who he was, full of grace for you. Love and forgiveness and mercy, tender-heartedness towards who you are, full of truth and guidance and leadership to take you into the best version of your life. Would you stand for a moment? Palm Sunday is about worship and praise. And that's what we're here to do. Both of these concepts, especially when they're joined into the person of Jesus, are worthy of our attention, worthy of our love, worthy of our thanks, worthy of our praise today. So I'm going to invite you guys, the band will give you just a moment of quiet here now. I'm going to invite you guys to center yourselves on the person of Jesus. and the love that he has for you. Love that looks like grace and love that looks like truth together. He sees you and he's with you now. Let's praise him together.